Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So it's finally here. I'm going to finish off the end of season players review. I haven't probably done one for about 6 to 8 weeks, I reckon, when I finished off, I think it was about the first 35 players. I've only got 7 to go, so I thought, what better opportunity than to do it just before Christmas? In case you lovely listeners get bored during Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whatever you're doing with the family and just want a bit of peace and quiet and want to listen to a bit of North Melbourne talk, I thought I might as well do an episode now and finish off these players' reviews. So I might as well get started. All right, we'll start with Phoenix Spicer. Or are we? No. Oh, geez, I'm off to a good start, aren't we? And we'll start with Paul Curtis, actually. So I think I finished with Nick Larkey last time. So, all right, we'll go with Paul Curtis. So best first-year player. I know he didn't win best first-year player at the club, but that was won by a guy I shall not name on this podcast. So, yeah, I mean, if the club had their time again and they knew what was going to happen, if that player was going to leave for Port Adelaide, they probably would have not given it to him in the first place. So this guy, yeah, best first-year player, 15 games this year, 9.6 disposals, 3.7 marks, 2.9 tackles per game, 1.8 inside 50s, and he kicked 12 goals for the year, just under a goal a game, 0.8 goals per game. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably a breakout game, I really felt, where you sort of felt, oh, this guy's got, he's got something about him. He's got a touch of class about him. It was probably against Richmond in round 18, played a big part in that game, kicked 3 goals, 14 touches, he just, he definitely played his part in that game. And, sky's the limit. Only 19 years old. Signed till the end of 2025 as well. So, very classy left footer. And, definitely does his best work inside 50. We've got a plethora of inside 50 players now, so which is really good. Those mid-sized forwards. Also averaged 3.4 score involvements per game, which is quite good for a rookie. 80% time on ground, which is good as well. So plenty to look forward to. I mean, would probably like to, I guess the next step in his career is probably the defensive pressure as well. I thought he's quite good for a rookie, but if we want to take that next step, we want to play that forward half game, then he's going to be a part of it, and we really want him just to lay that defensive pressure, whether it's tackles or perceived pressure, just chasing players and so forth. He was fifth amongst rising stars in total contested marks in 2022. Probably most notable mark, if you ever watch a highlight or just one highlight of him, was that contested mark he took against Nick Philostin against Richmond as well. So, there's lots to like about him, and you can only see big improvements from him in 2023 as well under a new coach. So, I'm really looking forward to, seeing Paul Curtis don the North Melbourne jumper in 2023. We'll move on. We'll go to the next one. So, Phoenix Spicer played the 5 games this year. Has been hampered by a bit of injuries as well, soft tissue injuries, mainly hamstrings. Average 5.6 disposals per game, only the 1 mark. Only kicked 1 goal, 1 goal 3 as well, laid 1.8 tackles per game, and it's probably, like, he's only 20 years old, he will be 21 at the end of January. It's probably a bit early to say he is at the crossroads of his career, but I felt like that game against Essendon, where he played that game, that he does chase hard, he's quite quick, but he's probably just undersized. Like, you look at his height, 173 centimetres, and he weighs 64 kilos. With that sort of size, it's very hard for him to lay tackles. I guess there's, there was question marks about, his contested work as well. Probably didn't go as hard at the contest as you would like on occasions, but that's probably his size as well. Probably a bit, bit overwrought on the occasion. I don't think he's in a round one team next year. to be quite honest with you. I think he'll start in the seconds and then hopefully find some form there. His form in the twos was quite solid, not great either, even when he did get dropped after that Essendon game. He didn't really show a lot that, he was playing a class above at that level. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I don't know what Alistair Clarkson has as far as plans for him next season, but I guess we'll see how we go with him. But I'm not overly confident just based on his size. Hopefully, there is a role for him because he's quite quick, and his skills are okay. So yeah, big year coming up for Phoenix Spicer, and he's out of contract next year as well. So yeah, we'll definitely see how we go there. Next one. Tarryn Thomas, a very down year by his standards compared to 2021. It was a big regression year for him. Obviously, had a lot of personal issues with his grandmother passing away and poor form as well. But only played, the 10 games this season. Only 12.9 disposals per game, down from 18.2 in 2021. Everything was down, 2021, 4.6 marks per game. In 2022, 2.8. Tackles were down by 0.6 on an average. Inside 50s in 2021, 4.2. This year, 2.7. His meters gained, 345.4 meters per game in 2021, down to 266.5. And score involvements are 5.5 a game down to 2.4. So, I think he's probably the number one candidate for a big bounce back season. Still only 22 years old, contracted till 2024. He really wants to honour that contract, which is really good sign. Still only played the 57 games, so he's still got a long way to go, as far as career go. If you're going to have a big career, like for the next 10 years, I mean, he's probably got 10 years of football, AFL football left in him if he wants it. So that's, an extra 200 games of football. So, look, what's his best position? I think he's a midfielder. I think he'll go back to the midfield next season and, we'll push forward on occasions. I think it was... in 2019, 2020, he was ranked third in tackles inside 50 per game. So that's a really good sign. We really need that forward half pressure player. So I think he'll definitely do his best work, forward half of the ball. But he's got a lot of pace and a lot of carry. And I think Callister Clarkson is the type of coach that will bring the best out of Tarryn Thomas. And you'll see a much different Tarryn Thomas this season. He's already looking fit. He was already looking fit before preseason started. So, I think he's my number one candidate to bounce back and have a really good year. Similar to a 2021 year, and I think he'll even be better than that. I think he could push, 20-21 touches per game. I'll look at score involvements. I mean, it was only 1.6, 1.5. I think he'd get that up to 2 meters per gained. I think he gets that up to 350 again. So, I think he's the number one candidate to really have a bounce back season. We'll go to the next one, the wily old veteran Todd Goldstein. So 22 games again this season. Fantastic. Up to 295 games. He's going to play 300 for the club. Contracted for another season, got another season of a contract. There was a lot of talk that maybe during the course of the year that he probably would head out the door at the end of the season, but was quite happy to stay another season and show his loyalty to the club, which is fantastic. So you look at his stats this season, very similar to the last couple of years. Disposals, only one less per game, but that's because he was playing forward a little bit more this year, particularly in the early rounds. They were trying to rotate him and Tristan Sherry, giving Tristan Sherry a bit more of a run while resting Goldstein and playing him as that second or two tall third forward to help out Nick Larkey. Headouts were down a bit this year from 29.6 to 23.9, obviously for the reasons that I said just previously. Goals, he did kick 16 goals this season in 22 games, 0.7 goals per game, so which is really, really good. So, that's the second most he's kicking this season. In 2016, he did kick 20 goals. So, I'm thinking, I mean, it was early in the season. They're almost trying to phase him out a little bit. They were trying to, sort of get Tristan Sherry to be that number one ruckman. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, his form, he's our number one ruckman. And clearly, ahead of Callum Coleman-Jones and Tristan Sherry, before Tristan Sherry did get injured. I will talk about Tristan Sherry in a minute, about his season. But, he forced his way back in. And next season, he'll turn 35 on July 1st. Look, I probably thought last year was going to be his last season. I'm not going to write him off that next year will be his last season. You never know. He still seems to keep himself in terrific shape. Judging by the photos in pre-season, he still looks like he's in good shape. I think he's part of Alistair Clarkson's plans. And Alistair Clarkson is not just going to, give... Yeah, Tristan Sherry, all right, the job's yours. I think, it's going to be a competition for spots. There's, there's two into three. There's three players and there's only two spots available. And, it's probably, at this stage, it's probably Callum Coleman-Jones and Todd Goldstein. Like, Todd Goldstein will be number one ruck round 1, 2023, with Callum Coleman-Jones as that forward pinch hitting ruck. So I'll talk about that in a minute when I get to Tristan Sherry. But I think that's how it'll line up. But I could be wrong, and I have been wrong before quite a number of times actually. So we're getting to the back end. We've only got three more guys to do. So Tom Powell, 18 games this year, which is really good. Played as a little bit of a half forward midfielder. I felt like he was playing too much of a half forward, to be honest, and wasn't getting that opportunity, particularly in the first half of the year. We were really struggling. Like, there was nothing to lose. We're playing Hugh Greenwood and, a number of others. Like nothing against Hugh Greenwood, but we weren't getting anywhere with him. And we weren't developing a player like a Tom Powell. We're just playing him half forward, and the ball was barely getting down here as well. Now, why not give that opportunity to Tom Powell and Hugh Greenwood just play half forward and they can have little spells in the midfield? So, I mean, David Noble was, he was a big reason why we did get Hugh Greenwood, and, he was a favourite of his. But, I just felt like it was a bit of a lost year in that regard. I mean, 70% time on ground. Look, I even think under Alistair Clarkson, that'll probably be similar next season. I think he's a player that plays midfield and goes to the bench and might just have the little spell in the forward line. But he has a lot to offer as far as a midfield player. Very classy, very good clearance player. Scoring violence went down this year from 4.1 to 3.2. He does generally use the ball quite well, so... disposals, 16.7 in 2021, was down this year, and that to 14.6, and that's mainly because of the reasons I just said. He was playing mainly as a half forward with little spells in the midfield, and I'd like to see, we've got, the main core, Cunnington, LDU, Jai Simpkin, I'm sure I'm missing someone else, but I could see him, when those players have a spell, go straight in there, and he's a good replacement for those sorts of players, that second group of midfielders. I can't remember who asked me the question the other day, but I did answer in the mailbag, who are the seven midfielders? I got no doubt he's probably the fifth option. Fifth, sixth option. He's in that second group of midfielders. Very good clearance player, so I'm not too worried. Like, I know his clearances did go up this year from 1.7 to 2.5. Considering he wasn't in the midfield that much, that's not a bad average actually. So I expect him to have a really good year, a good consistent year this year. Where he's not going to be on the fringes. There was a spell this year where he's playing reserves. I think he's a solid. Best 22 player round one, and he's not the top, and he won't be the type of player that's going to be on the fringes. Oh, he's in bad form. We're going to drop into the reserves. I think he's the type of player that he'll be not one of the first pick, but he'll be that 10 to 15 player that's not going to go out. He's just going to be a solid, consistent player. Probably average 15 disposals a game. Gets 3.5 clearances a game. I think 70% time on ground is about right for Tom Powell. I don't think he gets much more than that, but you know, 65% of that will be, you know, playing as a clearance player in the midfield. And I think, you know, only 20 years old, will turn 21 by the time round one comes around, or close to it, in March 2nd, 2002. But, yeah, he's another player that I'll rate with Taron Thomas. It's going to have a really big year. So I'm really looking forward to the development of Tom Powell. I really rate him. So I think he's a very good footballer. All right, we'll go to the next player. So I've only got two left, so it's not going to be a long podcast. So, yeah, I'll go to Tristan Sherry. He played 12 games this year, obviously hampered by injury. An injury that ended his season towards the second half of the year. Has only played a career of 24 games. He's, you know, 12 this year was clearly by far his best. Is he in our best? Look, I'm going to do a best 22 team next week, and he's not in it at the moment, but I didn't have him in the 2021 best 22 team as well, and he got in that. And look, I thought he had a very good year this year. Like, you look at his headouts, 21.8 headouts per game, and yeah, that's up from 7.4 per game in 2021. 2.1 tackles in 2021. He went up to 3.5. So he's a really imposing figure. You know, he reminds me a little bit of a Braden Pruce back in the day, where, you know he's there. He's got something about him. And I often said during the course of 2021 that the difference between Callum Coleman-Jones and Tristan Sherry is that, Callum Coleman-Jones was just a, you know, he didn't have that aggression like Tristan Sherry. And that was a big reason. You know, when Tristan Sherry's around a ball, you know he's around a ball. And if he tackles you, he's gonna put everything into it. Whereas Callum Coleman-Jones, look, he's not soft. No AFL player is soft. I mean, if you play AFL, you're a hard player. It doesn't always have to be by winning a contested ball. It can be by gut running out on a wing as well. So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, Callum Coleman-Jones he seems like a really nice guy, but I just want him to take that next step. I really want him to, you know, crash and smash a few players like a Tristan Sherry. Just a little bit. He just needs to get across that line, you know, get that bit of white line fever, you know, I think, not to make this about Callum Coleman-Jones, but that was the difference I felt like why Tristan Sherry was getting picked ahead of Callum Coleman-Jones. But I think it might flip this year. I think Callum Coleman-Jones will be in the round one team. Tristan Sherry's a better ruckman than Callum Coleman-Jones, but Tristan Sherry can't play in the forward line. We've seen that in 2021. We tried it. He kicked one goal in 8 games or something like that. This year he kicked 5 goals, so that's not bad. Or, you know, that's actually not a bad return for a ruckman. But yeah, Callum Coleman-Jones is a better forward than Tristan Sherry. Yeah, he's played his best football. You know, he's seen it at Richmond, where he's kicked some bags, or he kicked 4 goals against someone. I think it might have been GWS. And it might have been Richmond. Yeah, well, we missed that set shot, but we didn't play forward enough, to be honest with you, Callum Coleman-Jones. Like I said, I don't mean to be going back to Callum Coleman-Jones and make it about him, but, it wouldn't surprise me if Tristan Sherry is ahead of him by round one next season, but I expect Callum Coleman-Jones to be the number two forward/ruckman, because Todd Goldstein, I think, is still the number one ruckman. All right, so we go to the last one, Will the Thrill Phillips. Look, I can't say much about him right now. A lost year, a glandular fever, lost a lot of fitness. He's looking very fit in the preseason, seems very excited. I seen an interview with him yesterday. I hate the comparison with him and Logan McDonald. That's always going to hang over his head, which puts probably a little bit of pressure on him. But not that Logan McDonald is setting the world on fire. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, anything. Like, I've seen little spells, but I saw little spells from Will Phillips in 2021. He's got a bit of talent about him as well. Contracted till 2024, only 20 years old. I don't think he'll be in a round one team, even if he has a great preseason. I think he needs a good run in the reserves. After a lost year like last year, I feel like this is his first year again. He sort of has to go back to go forward. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he gets a good spell of 4 to 6 weeks, just dominates the VFL, looks a class above it, getting 30 touches a game or 25 touches a game or wherever you play. And then he just comes into the seniors and doesn't lose his spot. Could we play Will Phillips, Tom Powell in the same team? I think we can. But, he's never going to be, in that first tier of midfielders. Like, he's not going to be Heater Simpkin, LDU, probably Ben Cunnington and so forth. But I think as that second group, like, you get Tom Powell, Will Phillips. So that's pretty exciting. You know, that will probably be our, close to our starting midfield, those two and LDU and maybe even Simpkin. You know, that's four. But, that'll be a good quartet to build around in 2024. So, yeah, I'm excited about him, but I'm also tempering expectations that I don't want to see people, when he's not named in a round one team, that he's a bust or anything like that. You know, I mean, that's going to be the general narrative, but I think this is as good, will be like his first year, and he looks like he's looking very fit. I mean, like I said the other day, every player's looking absolutely amazing, amazingly fit compared to 2021, round one, by halfway through the third quarter against Hawthorne in the first game, we're out of legs pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like the focus has been really on trimming these boys up and getting them fit for, 2022, 2023 season. So, yeah, really, hitting the ground running. And, yeah, hopefully we can, get Will Phillips on the park in the seniors. Probably, I'm going to think round six onwards. I think he'll be in the team after that, but not in the first round, if that makes sense. So that's it. Just one thing. I forgot to answer Daniel Powell. He had a couple of questions. I only answered one on the mailbag the other day. He sort of asked something about a premiership. I think it might have been something to do with when do you expect, North Melbourne to be in the premiership window, top four and so forth. So I thought I may as well answer that now. I said even during the course of this season, when we get smashed every week, I expect us to be, I think we'll play finals 2024. I'm still going to go with that. So I sort of said that. I still think with the right coach, I said during the course of the season, we'll get to finals by 2024. The list is coming along nicely. I mean, we've got little things to work on, like a quick crumbing forward. I mean, we've got Phoenix Spicer, but outside of that, who do we have? And probably maybe another key defender or, I don't know, a lockdown defender. We seem to really struggle against certain individuals. Alex Sexton and, who kicked six goals against us round 23 because we had no one to stop him. It's probably one area that we'd like to work on. Things like that. Yeah, I mean, there's a few little holes, but the list is coming together quite well, and full credit to the list management team for that. I mean, there's a lot of criticism a couple of years ago of where we're going, why we, offloaded some players like a Ben Brown in particular, and, we're getting rid of all our experience. But I think it's almost justified now. I know, we've come bottom last couple of years, and no one wants to finish last, but, I think there'll be progression this season. I'm thinking we might do like a Hawthorn last season where we'll start off okay. We're going to be inconsistent. There's going to be some really good games. And there's going to be some games like last season where we're probably going to get done by 10 goals against an average team. Hopefully it's not Essendon. An average team, and you're thinking, oh, geez. And then next week we'll bounce back and we'll beat like, a Western Bulldogs or someone that's around 7th or 8th. We'll beat someone like that by 10 goals, and you think, there's no consistency. But it's going to be hard to be consistent when you've got a very, very young list. But, I hope that answers your question anyway, Daniel Powell. Anyways, that's it for me for this episode. Like I said, it's an episode just before Christmas. If you get a bit bored over the Christmas period with the family, they're doing your head in and you just want a bit of a break and listen to something, yeah, let me know your thoughts about certain individual players I talked about there. Like I said, if anyone does a retweet, I'll give them a follow as well on Twitter. But once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the comments, likes, and retweets you guys are doing for the show. It really helps out the show. The downloads are still going through the roof at the moment, which is really good. So yeah, I'm very, very happy with how it's all going at the moment. Really, really enjoying doing these episodes for you lovely listeners. It's right in the heart of the off season, so probably next week, probably early next week, I'm going to do my best 22 version 1. There's going to be a few versions. I'm going to get other people on to get their best 22 version 1, version 2, version 3. It's not just going to be me, but it's a good discussion point. I'll get that rolling next week, and before you know it, it'll be end of January, and we're going to be starting preseason games and so forth. So, yeah. In saying that, I hope all you lovely listeners, thanks for all your support throughout the course of the year. I hope you have a great Christmas day, Boxing Day, whatever you're doing. Just stay safe. Appreciate the time you have with your family or friends or whatever you're doing. And I'll share this with you guys last year, but this time last year, I was having a great, I had a Christmas with my family, and everything was fine. And then, 12 months later, I'm going to be missing someone from that Christmas day. And it's a time to really appreciate the people around you, and because you never know. Life is precious. Nothing is guaranteed. There's no guarantees of tomorrow. Anything could happen to you. So really appreciate the time you have with your kids and your family, and stay safe. I'm going to continue to do these podcasts. Nothing's wrong with me. Another question actually, I really want to make more of an effort to get you lovely listeners involved in the show and so forth. The main message for me is have a great time with the family. Really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your support. Anyways, that's it. So today I will leave a shout out to Chad Jones. Bye for now.